It is time. Do you know that you've been renamed? I have to tell you, you're the food maverick now. But Maven, I know you're the food maven. It's time for our...
MAV. Ruin the word maverick.
Okay, fine. Okay, Maven. Anyway, it is time for our usual, discussion with Arthur. Hi, Arthur.
Hi. Schwartz. You can call me Schwartz.
Okay, hi, Schwartz.
It's okay.
That is actually how I refer to it. And never mind. When I'm not calling you Maven, I'm calling you Schwartz.
Yeah, Schwartz is fine, you know. I grew up being called Schwartz. My father's best friend, Uncle Caesar, later to be just plain old Caesar, called me Schwartzy my whole life.
Right.
So I'm accustomed to that, and it doesn't offend me.
But way back
in
what,
any way, Artie offends me.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't offend me, but I don't want to be Artie.
My brother's name initially was David Andrew, and then somebody came over and said, "How's Davey?" And how is it? And so he became Drew. Right? They switched it.
Oh, that's interesting.
They switched it, and then he was Andrew.
David is such a noble name.
No, Andrew. He became they just Andrew David.
Andrew.
And
my sister was supposed to be Andrew, but she ended up to be Andrea.
I was supposed to be what was I supposed to be? Sarah. No, is that true? No, Susan. I was supposed to be Susan.
So did we say that sheet pan mania has hit the land? It's sort of everywhere I turn there's a sheet pan in my way.
And so I just have
and
to...
And I don't even know why they're called sheet... I mean, I do know why.
Because they were cookie sheets.
But, you know, we used to call them baking sheets or baking pans.
I used to call them cookie sheets. You know, where's the cookie sheet?
A cookie sheet to me does not have four sides. I mean, use my sheet pans, whatever we're calling them, as cookie sheets. However, I have a real cookie sheet here, and my mother, who was not a baker, she knew what bakery
was mine.
To shop in. And her line always was that every bakery has at least one good product, which is why she went to three or four bakeries when she was shopping for baked goods. In any case, she did bake cookies every once in a while, and she never had anything but one of those flat sheets of aluminum,
right,
with one edge up, which is mainly for handling the thing.
Which is true, and that is, in fact, a cookie sheet.
Is a cookie sheet. I have one, and I use it. And by the way, it's a very good peel, P-E-E-L. I think that's how you spell peel. Maybe not, come to think of it. Do you know how to spell peel, meaning the wooden... platform, the wooden sheet that you used to put a pizza in and out of the oven.
Oh, that thing?
Anyway.
All right, well, I'll
so
I'll work on
I don't know. This whole sheet pan thing hurts my ears. I'm not sure why. And ends up, I'm thinking about this a lot for various reasons. But while thinking about it for other reasons, I remember that my friend Roseanne Gold long ago was doing what we now call sheet pan recipes, including one that I made a number of times. She refreshed my memory about this just this morning. I'd forgotten that I made this a number of times because it was so good. It was a, let's call it sheet pan. We're going to call it Roseanne's Chicken Parmigiana baked in the oven.
Okay.
And it basically is you make a little garlic butter by pressing a clove of garlic through the press. In those days, not that long ago, Roseanne was still I'm grating garlic these days, but you know, if I had a garlic press, I'd be using it every once in a while. So you press a clove of garlic through the press, you mix it with some melted butter, you dip your pounded or, if you buy them this way, flattened chicken cutlets in the butter. You dip them in the butter. And then you dip one side, you dredge one side in grated Parmesan cheese, Parmigiano Reggiano, good cheese. And you put it on your baking sheet, cheese side up. Of course, course, you put salt and pepper on the chicken. That goes without saying, but I think I should say it. And on the other side of the sheet pan, you put some cherry tomatoes that you've also tossed in the same garlic butter with salt. And you put it in, I think she has it in a 500-degree oven. It's hard for me to pump my oven up to 500. It just takes too long. Although I have an appliance serviceman coming today, and I'm sure he's going to show me a technique how to do this. The last one that was here showed me a technique that made it better. But anyway, 450 to 500-degree oven. You put it in the oven for about 10 minutes. You take it out. You put some wonderful. Oh, by the way, you can add oregano to those tomatoes too. You put some wonderful mozzarella slices on top of the chicken. Put it back in the oven for another 10 minutes until it's all melty, and let's call it chicken parmigiana. It's very good, and it's made all on one sheet of metal.
Right. And it is a P-O-P-E-E-L. But my question is this.
It is P-E-E-L?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
But my question is this.
Thank
still.
God for spell check.
No, you have to.
No, I didn't mean you did it.
No,
I mean,
no. I was
for
like,
me,
I did wooden pizza thingy.
I'm a writer who can't spell.
I said wooden pizza thingy, and then I looked down. And
wooden pizza thingy.
Yeah, no, and then it said peel. And so I was like, bingo.
That's it.
Then I checked to see, I confirmed that peel because,
right.
Anyway.
Anyway.
But
you know, I have made some other sheet pan recipes.
What is the difference?
They can be. They are, in fact, easy and appealing.
So I'm okay. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just have to say that for me, my irritation with sheet pan is if you have a big cast iron skillet, you can do the same thing in it. By and large.
I was getting to that.
Okay.
Because I actually, especially of late, have been cooking one-dish meals. No, really not. I've been doing chicken. We like thighs, so it's just chicken thighs, but any part of the chicken you want. But the timing would be different for breasts, blah, blah. In any case, I put chicken thighs on top of sliced potatoes or sliced potatoes and onions, or if you want to add carrots to that, you can, but they don't get as tender as I like. And then you put the chicken on top, brush it with oil, salt, pepper, of course, every part of the chicken, and you put it in. I use a 450-degree oven. By the way, oil. Did I say you should brush the top of the chicken with oil?
Yep.
And also the potatoes should be tossed with oil.
Delicious.
Let me get to some details in a sec. And you put it in a 450-degree oven for 45 minutes. It's so easy to remember. 45 minutes, 450 degrees, and it is delicious.
And it's easy. And I think I've been doing that all my life, but here is, to me, the tragicomedy of this whole thing. I was reading in, frankly, the New York Times Magazine, the easy recipe something a couple weeks ago, and she needed three sheet pans.
Say that again? Three sheet pans?
Yeah, either two or three sheet pans. I'm like, what?
Well, who has an oven that'll accommodate all that?
But that's how, and I just wanted to, I don't know whether this is the dumbing down.
I have a big oven. I could do it.
Listen, the dumbing down of creation is because
these sheet pan dinners or dishes, whatever you want to call them, is that you can cook your whole supper, your whole meal, on one pan. But this requires some thought. You can't just dump it all on a pan, toss it with oil, salt, pepper, and call it a day, because every vegetable cooks at a different rate.
Correct. I mean, like,
so
I'm saying
you
correct
have to
you, but
figure how to cut them so that they all turn out the way you want them to in the end. Now, if that's very crisp, that's one thing I don't like. My vegetables very crisp. I like them well cooked. So, as I said, carrots take a lot longer than some things. Potatoes, also, it depends on how you cut them. So, this cooking cooking the chicken on top of potatoes started when my friend Leah Koenig invited us to dinner, and she has a new cookbook called Portico. It's the food of the Roman Jewish community. It's a wonderful book and a beautiful book. And in the book is a recipe for chicken cooked on potatoes, and also she served it to us. So I thought when I got the book, you know, when I was at Leah's house, I didn't get enough of those potatoes. I was dreaming of those potatoes. And so I made the recipe, and it's from a restaurant. It's the theater district. It's not even from somebody in Rome, as almost as every other recipe is. But there's a family, La Tanzi, that has a restaurant in the theater district. And they used to, and I think still do, serve Roman Jewish dishes after 8 o'clock. This is to draw people to the theater district restaurant, you know, when the theater is, when the pre-theater crowd has disappeared. Anyway, it's a very good method. The first time I had this was, so I can't even remember how many years ago, but it made a big impression. A leg of lamb cooked a la boulangère, as the baker would, and that means roasted in the oven on a bed of potatoes. What could be bad, right?
No, when
the fat from any
exactly.
of these products, ingredients, no, animals, drips down onto potatoes, and the potatoes get all
yummy, crunchy. I mean,
that's a word. Yeah, whatever, irresistible.
Yeah.
And by the way, they need salt. You cannot cook without salt in this case. You have to add a good amount of salt. And I don't know, I'm trying to restrict salt ever so slightly, but it doesn't matter.
All right, so this is where I become annoying. I'm just going to say two things that I truly recommend people research for themselves, okay? Thing one, salt. Your body needs salt. Your body totally needs salt. You are something like ridiculous, like decaf, 97% salt.
Let me say, if you don't have high blood pressure, you need salt.
Well,
but if you have high blood pressure or other things, like, you know, you bloat easily. I mean, there are reasons to reduce your salt.
But I'm
a very salt-prone person. So me reducing salt means that I'm probably eating like a normal person's amount of salt.
Okay, well, in that case, I have no problem. But then the other thing is what people don't realize, because we'll leave out the because, but, you know, again, I strongly encourage everyone to do their own research as they drop their – I used to have a friend who said drop their teeth.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, there's one
potatoes
more.
Potatoes need salt.
Potatoes need salt.
I can't help myself. I have to put a lot of salt on potatoes.
And potatoes need
and
butter or fat or something.
So, you know, you well-seasoned salt and pepper the chicken, well-seasoned salt and pepper the potatoes, olive oil. Now – I have shared this with my physical therapist, and then the week after I shared it with him, he said to me, "I can't believe roasting chicken on potatoes can be that delicious." Now, what he did was he cubed the potatoes instead of slicing the potatoes. And I said, "Oh, I sliced mine." He said, "Oh, next time I try." He's made it like, I don't know, a few. He likes it a lot because he's little girls, like a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, eat, love it. So, you know, when your kids love something, it's a good thing. He tried it on sliced potatoes, and he didn't think the potatoes cooked enough. And here's the deal. If you make something like this, remember that I'm giving you this recipe. One for every 2 chicken thighs, you can have 1 medium-large potato sliced 1/4 inch thick. You also have to have a pan big enough to accommodate all this without crowding it. So I would say that I did the other day. Used my large black iron skillet for 6 chicken thighs and 3 potatoes, and it was fine. and the potatoes cooked all together. That was because we had a third party to eat this. Usually it's just two of us, and then I use my smaller skillet, and it's only two potatoes, so, you know, it's fewer potatoes and fewer thick chicken thighs. You should technically have a little space around the chicken thighs so that they get crispy all over. Now, I have a convection setting on my oven. Do you have one?
No, and this is where I deeply miss Marshall because, you know, he had every single whatchamacallit. I have an ancient whatchamacallit. Why can't I think of that? Wolf. I have an old Wolf stove before.
Oh, well, Wolf is a great stove.
Before they
didn't have convection years ago.
No. So whoever bought it.
Now.
I am so old-fashioned at this juncture. You know, I have a cast iron pan.
I've had the stove now for 2 years, and that was the first time I tried it on convection. But I did do the chicken, as I just outlined, on convection, and I would say it could have taken as much as 10 minutes less and came out super crispy. So I would do that again. Okay. Instead of 45 minutes, I would say it was done in 35 minutes, 37 minutes. Maybe I looked and I said, oh, it's done. And it really is a great way to... by the way, you don't have to put it on potatoes either. And I put it on potato and onion. That's the boulangère. I'm not sure why bakers would put it on. It's because it's baked in the oven. It's not because it's potatoes and onions. But anyway, so that is... And then let's remember back when... We're old enough, Jill, I'm going to say this.
Oh, it's all true.
When skillet dinners were the hot thing...
Oh, bring back skillet dinners.
I only remembered this because I was looking at, I guess it's my first cookbook, Cooking in a Small Kitchen, has a whole chapter on skillet cooking. So I guess I was ahead of my time. Like Roseanne was ahead of her time with the sheet pan. She wrote about this in Bon Appetit, the sheet pan dinners in 2011, and I thought it went back further than that, but she wrote about it. It was a new thing. It wasn't a new thing. It was a thing. She says she worked in restaurants, so she said it's a restaurant method. In any case, she points out you really have to be careful about how you're cutting your vegetables so that they all cook together at the same time. So I guess I was a little ahead with these skillet dinners because I think this is coming back. And I'm looking I'm not going to give recipes at this moment, but let's remember that steak au poivre is a skillet dinner. I have a pizzaiola recipe. You know, I mean, but this is done, in one skillet, the whole thing.
Is that...
I'm looking to see what else I have here.
Is that the definition of a skillet dinner, one skillet?
Yeah, that it's a one, what they call now a one-pot meal, I guess.
How is that different from what we're talking about with a sheet pan, except in a skillet?
Well, I'm pointing out that in the 1970s...
Exactly, okay.
It was a thing.
Pointing out that my old stove and my old cast iron, different sized pans that you will appreciate this because Mrs. Gannett had Mr. Gannett years ago. He had some.
She says this because I knew the Gannett.
That's right. That's why I'm saying this, and that's why I'm like, this is sort of wink, wink. But he had these battered cast iron from, I don't know, the turn of the last century or thereabouts.
Yeah, some of them are very valuable now.
And she had him go to work on them and decrud them, then seasoned them, and essentially that's what I cook in. Period. Even though I've got
You inherit them?
No, they gave them to me.
They gave them to you.
Yeah, it was just a project.
How nice!
He always did projects.
Do you? They usually are marked on the bottom what company made them.
Yeah.
You want to take some pictures and send them to me because I'm into this.
I We will discuss. I'll tell you what's on the bottom.
All right. You can tell me.
Yeah.
You don't have to take a picture.
Like I said, I've got an old skillet and I've got an old oven.
I'm following a cast iron restoring person, restorer on TikTok, and he points out this. He will of course restore any pan you send him, but some of the pans that he gets sent are in fact extremely valuable because they're like 150 years old,
right?
And from a company that's highly regarded, and the pan has special features that another pan might not have,
right? Not to mention the fact that they're indestructible.
Well. Yeah,
mostly.
People try hard to destroy them, but they are.
they're really close.
Destruction.
Unlike certain dog toys that are sold,
it is indestructible. You do need some
muscle mass.
Professional help if the pan is really so far gone, for instance, that you can't even read the imprint on the bottom. And I've seen pans like that. My most precious pan, black cast iron, is one that I bought at the Lambertville flea market. And it was a woman there who restored black iron skillets. And when I got it, it was impeccable. I mean, it looked like it could have been new. And, of course, already very nicely seasoned. Over the probably 30 years that I have it, I've crudded it up a bit. But one of the things I've learned is that you can wash a cast iron skillet with soap. There always was this myth that you couldn't. However, it's not a myth, because in the old days, soaps were much more corrosive, I would have to call them, than the washing detergent that we use today. So yes, you can scrub, even with a brush, which I do, the insides of your cast iron to keep it nice. And now I have something, because I have crudded it up a little bit, on the sides. The bottom is gorgeous. Mesh, this, I guess, I don't know, stainless steel mesh, like an armor mesh kind of thing. And there's a pad inside it. It's just abrasive enough to smooth out the crudded up sides of the pan. I have to use it all the time, and it's working over time to smoothing it out. But there are ways to restore it at home. If it's really, 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 really beyond, you have to take it somewhere where they'll, I think they call it electrolysis. Or something. It's some kind of...
No, that's for hair.
I know that's for hair.
But maybe you know what would be great,
just like
bath, Mr. Peel,
right, or a lye bath,
right?
So yeah, and that takes it down to the metal,
right? And then you got to go back to
work, and then
work
you have to reseason.
But it's still anyway. So now, what are we going to do with our remaining minute and a half or whatever it is?
Well, I know. I mean, let me just say, my favorite, and this is not an exaggeration, my favorite cast iron recipe is something that I made years ago for a Jewish holiday, because it's a Jewish holiday dish. But now I want it all the time. The only problem with it is it has prunes. And prunes, if you're diabetic, send your sugar haywire. And so I can only eat it on rare occasion. Now that I'm going to give the recipe, I'm sure this is a rare occasion because, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
But anyway, it's not my... I did not create this dish. It was created by a couple named Jeffrey Yoskowitz and Liz Alpern, and they wrote a book called The Gefilte Manifesto. It's a wonderful book. If you like cooking Jewish, you don't necessarily have to be Jewish or kosher. Their contemporary takes on a lot of old Jewish dishes is really good. Ashkenazi dishes, I should say. Anyway, this is chicken. I only do thighs with a glaze of honey and ginger cooked on a bed of carrots, onions, and prunes. So you brown in your cast iron skillet. Well, preheat the oven because this is going to go in the oven. Preheat your oven to, 400 degrees. And also, I like prepping ahead, not waiting till the last minute. So I would mix together my glaze now, which would be a good 3 tablespoons of grated fresh ginger, 3 tablespoons of honey. I use a mild honey, like my grandma did, golden, whatever it's called. Used to be my sponsor on the radio, I should remember. A tablespoon of neutral oil, could be any, not olive oil, corn oil, canola oil, even peanut oil, and then some salt. I would say a couple teaspoons of salt, a good pinch of hot red pepper flakes. If you want to leave it out, you can. And I always leave out the next ingredient, and they have it in their recipe, is a teaspoon of grated lemon zest. I don't know. If I had a lemon and I wanted a zest, I would put it in. Maybe once I put it in. When first time I make a recipe, I do it as they say. But I have changed this recipe over the many times I've made it. So I'm going to tell you how I do it. So in this skillet, put a tablespoon of oil, heat it up, place the chicken skin, salt and pepper the chicken, place it skin side down, and brown the chicken skin side down until it's brown. Usually it takes about 7 or 8 minutes. Could be a little less. Adjust the heat. You don't want it to burn. You want it to brown. As the chicken gets brown, transfer it to a bowl and pour on the glaze that you've made, which is the mixture of honey, grated ginger, oil, salt, red pepper flakes, and if you want, lemon zest, and let that sit there while you add your onion, which should be like, I would say a large onion. For me, it's like at least a 6-ounce onion, halved and thinly sliced, and put that in the pan. And now you've got fat in the pan from browning the chicken. That's all the fat you'll probably need to add to cook the onion. And then you want a whole pound of carrots, one whole pound of carrots, and I cut them on the bias about a 1/2 inch thick. And then you want a 1/2 pound of pitted prunes. Now, truthfully, I would like prunes with pits in it. One of my pet peeves is prunes. You cannot find, or I cannot find anyway, prunes with the pits in. And as I don't want the prunes to actually dissolve into this whole thing, I use my 1/2 pound of pitted prunes snipped in half with a scissor, not chopped as the recipe originally said. I find just cutting them in half is fine. If you want to use a knife, you can use a knife. I find the scissor is fun. So you add the onion to the pan. When it wilts down a little bit, add the carrots. Let saute them for a few more minutes. You might want to add a little bit more salt. And then add about, really not much, 1/4 cup, I would say, of water to the skillet and the prunes. And cook that around just for another couple minutes. Put the chicken back on top of all those ingredients, that's prunes, onions, and carrots, and put the whole thing in the oven for 1/2 hour at least, 35 minutes, until the chicken is cooked through. By the way, any extra of that glaze, scrape it out of the bowl with a spatula and drizzle it over everything. This is really good.
And this is really done.
I probably went over.
Yeah, so we love you anyway. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Crispy chicken with tzimmis. You can probably find it online. I know you can find it online.
It's more fun getting it from you. All right. happy yumminess. And we'll talk again imminently.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good week, everyone.
And you.